Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at PurdueGlobal.edu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Alicia Otero, an outspoken Republican, says her daughter Delilah and countless children all across New Mexico are still reeling from the effects of remote learning prompted by the pandemic.
They had remote learning and there was no instruction.
Newly released test scores paint a bleak picture of New Mexico's education standing, with only 35% of students in grades 3 through 8 proficient in English and 25% in math.
Yeah, so there's one of your stories of the day that will be a story maybe for a generation, as maybe these kids or people, as they will turn into adults, never catch up, really.
Nope. Nope. They were kept intellectually in a cardboard box for 2 years and not permitted to go to school and learn. That story, actually, that news clip was from New Mexico, where the far left governor, in the style of lefty governors, went hardcore on keeping everybody out of schools for as long as possible. I believe New Mexico may have even surpassed Cal Unicornia for forbidding the children from getting together in spite of the utter lack of danger to them.
With the United States being an outlier in the world for keeping our kids out of school, and there's no political blowback on this, and in fact, the Democrats seem to be getting away with, to a certain extent, saying, no, we're the ones that wanted to open the schools. It was Republicans that wanted to keep them closed, and just there's kind of like no conversation going on about that.
Well, and to my mind, the Democratic Party kept your children out of school ought to be a drumbeat on the campaign trail. Of course, we're in the primary season right now, and it may well become that. Meanwhile, on the Democratic side, it's Trump is a threat to democracy. Trump is a threat to democracy. We received a rather impassioned email from one of our favorite correspondents who said, if Trump were to get out of the way,
right,
both parties would have to run on the merits, and the Democrats would get their arse handed to them. Certain amount of truth to that.
So, speaking of politics and other lands, Xi and Putin are meeting. The two leaders are expected to discuss a new gas pipeline as Moscow faces setbacks on the battlefield and mounting economic pressure from U.S. and its allies. Maybe his only friend, and they're frenemies.
I mean, oh, yeah.
She will cut Russia and Putin loose as soon as it's to his benefit. But they're going to have their first in-person meeting since the war began. It'll be interesting to know what that conversation will be like.
Well, Winnie the Marxist Pooh is not got to be excited about hanging out with a loser. I mean, because Vlad Putin's starting to come off as a loser with a phony military and a faltering economy and the rest of it.
Speaking of the economy, here's a number for you. Median household income of about $70,000. That's a good number to know, by the way. You should know that. The median household income in America right now is about $70,000. No different in any way now than it was from the inflation-adjusted 2020 estimate. So incomes have failed to grow for the second year in a row. That's where we are on that.
All right. All right. Continuing to take the pulse of America.
That's right.
Taking the pulse of America. We ought to have theme music for that, or at least, you know, your brief. What do you call that in the business? Yeah, like this. This right here. What's that, a scene setter?
I don't know.
A fanfare?
I don't know.
I think it's a fanfare.
I'm not sure it's a fanfare. Anyway, so this is a story from The Hill. Fewer than half of Americans can name all three branches of government, a survey finds.
Fewer than half? That surely that's not accurate, but, you know.
Well, surely it is.
If they exaggerated by double, it's horrifying.
So, Americans' understanding of the basic facts about the U.S. government declined for the first time in 6 years, but declined steeply. Fewer than half in a new survey could name all three branches of government, which, of course, is Mo, Larry, and Curly. It's executive, legislative, and judicial, in case you're playing along at home. That fell 9%. About a quarter of Americans surveyed could not name a single branch of the government.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm fascinated by what we teach kids and what we don't. And because I got two grade schoolers, I should make that my hobby, looking into how these things came to be. And I don't, maybe I should have an agenda, but I don't really have an agenda. I'm just kind of curious, like how we decided, like, for instance, I brought up to my fourth grader, and I know this, I've known this since I was his age or younger. Do you know which are stalactites? Do you know what stalactites and stalagmites are? And he said, yes. And I said, do you know which ones are which? And he said, oh, yeah. Stalactites to point down. And I thought, why do we all know this? How has that ever been important information to anyone on the planet, including a geologist squishing around in a cave? Why did I learn that?
If you're in a cave and point and say, hey, look at that something, then you want that knowledge, certainly.
But just for instance, I would like to know, of the people that can't name the branches of government, how many of them can tell you what a stalagmite or a stalactite is? And why do we teach stuff like that?
Well, with all due respect to cave geology, I think the main point is that we are doing a miserable job of teaching our kids about how our system of government works. And I know why that is. It's because the teachers' colleges have been so captured by far-left activists with no respect or love for this country. And it's spread into the schoolrooms in your local town. I mean, we talk about this in a number of different ways, different topics from the... You know, the critical race theory to the queer theory stuff and the rest of it. This is another example of it.
Do you think it's just a basic, I don't like the country or our government or our system, so why would I teach about it?
Yeah.
You think it's that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I think teaching kids that they ought to value our system, know how it works. To learn about something is to value it, to give it importance, to give it some regard. And by the way, my only criticism of The Hill for their article is they picked the wrong headline. While the fact that, whatever it was, less than 50% could name all three branches of government. Listen to this, ass, would ya? The survey also found a decline in the number of respondents who could name any of the five freedoms guaranteed under the First Amendment. Freedom of religion was indeed named by 24% of those surveyed, which fell precipitously from just a few years ago. Those who named freedom of the press also declined sharply, down by 30 percentage points from 50 in 2021. They must have just come across a crop of morons this year or something.
We've got a crop of morons.
Well, morons running crops, right? Herd of wildebeests, murder of crows, crop of morons. About 26% of respondents could not name any First Amendment freedoms. About a quarter. The percentage of respondents who listed the right to bear arms, a right protected under the Second Amendment, tripled from, up to 9%. But at least they know it's in the Bill of Rights.
Well, maybe now's the perfect time to hear the TikTok video of the day from yesterday that I don't know how many people texted me about. Hey, have you seen this? Hey, have you seen this? To know what young people are thinking about.
Oh, and learning about. There are only limited hours, you know, in school and homework, and the kids are going to be studying something. Here's what they appear to be studying. Michael, let's start with clip number 71. I think this young lady explains herself pretty thoroughly.
I'm going to prove to you why white people are the reason I'm fat today. If white people didn't go looking for spices, then various sea routes to Indian subcontinent and Africa and other places of the world would not get discovered. And if they didn't get discovered, then East India Company would never come to Indian subcontinent. And if they didn't come, then the fertility of the land would not get destroyed because they forced us to cultivate tobacco and dyes and opioid, things like that, and that destroyed the fertility of my country.
Okay, boy, a lot to unpack there. I think our general theme, which is a young person who's taken a class or two in college, thinks they know better than thousands of years of tradition, trial and error, and the greatest political thinkers who've ever lived designing a society. That's, you know, we're used to that.
Well, so was her main theme was, it was a little hard to understand what she said there at the beginning. I want to explain to you why I'm fat.
Fat. That's right.
It's because of white
supremacy has made her fat, but she's just getting rolling. Michael, go ahead.
And then if that didn't happen, and if they didn't exploit and extract resources until my ancestors were left with nothing to eat, we wouldn't move to this grain-heavy, very little nutritious diet that we have today.
Okay, so white people are responsible for her people moving to a grain-heavy diet. I'm sure there's more.
Also, if white people didn't come to the Indian subcontinent, then my ancestors would not go through 50 small, medium, large famines in a period of 200 years. That's a lot. And in 1943, nearly 3 million people would not have died due to starvation and malnutrition.
You know, this is making me sadder right. than yeah. amused.
Yeah, so, I concur.
This is the, is typical unfair? This is a typical example of the troubled young person who has been taught that white people are the source of all of her personal unhappiness and historical unhappiness. As if white people going to the Indian subcontinent caused all famines. Famines have been happening the entire history of the world. The Bible writes about them. But all of her personal unhappiness, historical unhappiness, it's all due to the evil, evil white people.
And, as I always point out, it has become perfectly acceptable to assign blame to a skin color, which yes. up until like a couple of years ago was considered forbidden. We have moved away from that. You cannot assign blame for anything to a skin color because, well, for obvious reasons, it doesn't, these things don't travel with skin color. They're cultural, they're all kinds of different things, but.
Right. Well, it's morally indefensible and logically idiotic.
And very, 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 very dangerous historically.
Yeah, right.
Because this grows over time to where more and more people come to believe, yeah, that skin color is the reason for problems. Lock them up, beat them, kill them, whatever. It's happened over and over and over around the world.
It's happening now.
It's happening now, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy. Now, the question is, how do we root out or treat that deep, deep-seated infection in our educational systems?
I don't
systems?
Know, but nobody's calling for her, I don't think. I don't think anybody's calling for her to be banned from TikTok or kicked off or anything like that. It's perfectly okay to blame a skin color for something in social media.
For practically everything.
If it's white.
Yeah.
You'd be
done. In this country, there are more white people than other people.
You'd be done if you did it with any other country. You're not going to have your job. You're going to get kicked out of school. I mean, you're just done. Because racism is so dangerous. Right. If this catches hold, the things get very, very ugly very, very fast. But it's perfectly acceptable to be racist against white people. So troubling.
Well, it has caught hold, though. That's the problem. From kindergarten classes through graduate schools. Which is why I'm always harping on it.
That's something.
Spicy times, folks.
God, I'd say.
Armstrong and Getty. Armstrong and Joe Getty.
Point of personal privilege.
Don't get brazen with me.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
On-air meeting. Just at Joe's. Welcome to Joe's Musings. We have theme music for that. There we go. All right, I'll stop musing and get back to my job.
Welcome to Joe's Musings.
I just had, I'll give you the very, very short version of it. Tucker, who's brilliant and hilarious and often right, is also often inaccurate, spreading, you know, misinformation, whatever, to better make the point. And because that's the media I take in and it bothers me so much, I had the temptation to come on today on the show and talk about everything he got wrong or was being dishonest about. And then I realized, well, wait a second. Dr. Fauci and his policies are what Tucker was talking about. And that's the big fight. That misinformation, the mandates, the ever-shifting guidance that was not based on science. It was based on politics. And that whole... How much time you spend criticizing your own side as opposed to the bigger battle? I mean, if the guy in the foxhole next to you is like, he has bad dinner manners. He eats with his mouth open, for instance. You know, when you're shooting at the enemy, it's probably not the time to talk about Jim. You know, it'd be really nice if you'd close your mouth. We can all hear you eating and it's disgusting. And so I just, how do you balance that?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
And it's all entertainment. So I mean, the news is portrayed as is the entertainment business now. So,
right, and politics is presented with the shallowness of sports broadcasting. All it is entertainment.
Sure.
There's never any actual governance. It's just who's in, who's out, who won, who lost. Anyway, mailbag. You can email us mailbag@armstrongandgetty.com. First, Chris sent us an email with a link to this music video he recorded. And I held on to it for a couple of days before I actually looked at it. It's brilliantly produced. I mean, it's pro-level stuff. And the punchline at the one-minute mark is very, very funny. it's commenting on essentially Nextdoor.com, where people post about, there's a red car that drove too fast. And my cat Fluffy is, I haven't seen her for a day and a half.
Right.
So it's commenting on that sort of stuff. Then he says, thanks for your great infotainment. Your show is like bacon for the soul. That's very kind of you, sir.
Bacon
very,
for the soul. Okay.
Very kind of you. And we posted the video, or will soon, at armstrongandgetty.com. On the topic of student loan forgiveness, we got this note from Virginia Joe. We have Reno Joe, Joe in Stockton. I think we have a Joe in Nashville. Now we have a Virginia Joe. I hate this discussion and the thought of people getting out of paying their student debts. I hope Biden lets the pause expire and doesn't give back any debt, etc., but he's waited till right before the midterms. He points out, my second hope is Biden kicks it to Congress. They actually debate and legislate on the issue. That's a great point. Thanks, Virginia Joe. Funny coincidence. The next email in line of the hundreds we get was a guest pitch from some so-called expert who says debt forgiveness could enable past students to return to college and get valuable credentials and degrees.
Yeah.
I could get hung up there, but I won't. Much of the debt forgiveness will accrue to low-income and minorities. So these communities in particular could benefit. Oh, well, low-income and minorities, everybody's in favor of that. What do you mean much of the debt forgiveness will accrue? How much is much? Exactly.
I like the word much, so they're not willing to say most, because that wouldn't be true.
Right. but much? How about
so
that?
A whole bunch of middle class and rich kids who made a decision will get it paid for, and some poor kids.
And much of it will go to the poor kids, or not much. And then Scott says, as far as term limits go, I'm not opposed to 18 years. Nominate a new guy every two, new nominee every two. You'd have to have some serious presidential domination for them all to be nominated by someone from the same party.
Mm.
How would the math work, though? You replace one of the 12 every 2 years? The previous people be under a term limit?
I got to believe that lack of consistency in terms of relationships or some would be bad.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Now, from the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio
at the George Washington Broadcast Center, Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty.
These are bad guys.
That is especially true.
It's so bizarre and so grotesque.
Yup.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, I was unnecessarily frank, but
how can this show be on one hand sometimes so highbrow, yet be what it is the rest of the time?
Come on.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
So I got on this kick, when 60 Minutes did that story a couple of weeks ago about people need to find jobs that make their hearts sing.
I got my dream job. Let me check. Let me put my shirt aside here. My heart is not singing. Not even humming.
And it was all about the great resignation, the big quit, the millions of people that have quit their jobs. And if you have been able to quit your job and get a better one that either pays more or you like better, awesome for you. But this change in attitude about work that seems to be happening, where it's got to be a job that just makes your heart sing, or better to stay at home. And then,
I might argue there are some people who think if I'm not just fully realizing my potential as a human through my work, my life sucks. This is not the way things have gone terribly wrong. Just crazy expectations.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Stories like that one, 60 Minutes, are certainly putting those expectations in people's head. And then we were reading from this Wall Street Journal article yesterday was about the number of men that aren't working, men that are in the prime of working age life that aren't working. As I already mentioned, we have a lower percentage of men in the prime of their working years not working than we did during the Great Depression, which is stunning. And this guy named Eberstadt has written a book about it, and he's quoted a lot in the Wall Street Journal. I wanted to read this part because I thought it was pretty important as he ended this. The widespread contempt for many ordinary jobs may be making the problem worse. Journalists and economists who cheer on the Great Resignation often stigmatize work in the same breath writing off low-paid jobs is not worth taking. It's astonishingly condescending to say that some work is meaningless, and it shows an astonishing ignorance of how other people live. It's wonderful that millions of people are finding better work, but there are millions more who could fill the jobs they're vacating, and disdain for low-skill work helps keep those people away. Instead of stigmatizing low-skill jobs, we should do better to stigmatize idleness, especially among working-age men. Not long ago, the idea that 1 in 8 men, because that's the current stat, 1 in 8 men should be neither working nor looking for work would have been absolutely a horrifying prospect. We should re-embrace the prospect that could do a lot of good for our economy. So extrapolating that, as I think about it, I gotta believe culturally right now, if you're a 25-year-old male who lives with your parents, there's less social pressure on you than if you're a 25-year-old male who has a really uncool job.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like,
right.
you have more social credit living in your parents' basement and not having a job than if you worked at McDonald's. Whereas when I was young, which isn't 100 years ago, you wouldn't think the culture could change that much. The idea, I was never, ever once around somebody when I was 27 years old who was my age who lived with their parents. Ever. And it would have been just, you, what now? I mean, unless they were like special ed or something, it would have been, what? What?
Yeah, they'd have to be pretty severely handicapped for that to be the case.
Right. But if you worked a fast food job or something like that, you got a job, you're just, you know, it wouldn't have been that big a deal. But now I think the culture has changed. And part of that, as that author points out there, is the way the media and economists handle it. They disdain those jobs. They talk about those jobs as if they're beneath you. We've been doing the whole jobs Americans won't take spiel for decades now, and convincing a lot of Americans that, no, you don't need to do that kind of work. You don't know if they'll be cleaning up hotels or restaurant work. No, better to not work at all.
You know, I think it may be part and parcel of a lot of things we're seeing these days, including the Republican Party becoming much more the party of the working class. And that's that, you know, college-educated, suburban, paternalistic superiority syndrome. You know, you've got a women's studies degree from Ivy League school or something like that. These people are convinced they are better than everybody else. And
true.
Smarter, and can tell us how to run our lives. And I think that relates to some stuff we'll be talking about next hour, attitudes about COVID and lockdowns and regulations and such.
So that's just catching up from something we talked about later in the show yesterday. Then I came across this just randomly yesterday. I think I saw it on Twitter. Hey, Fox is talking about us. It's the anti-work subreddit on Reddit that has 1.7 million idlers, it says here. The description is, it's a subreddit for those who, if you don't know Reddit, and I just became aware of Reddit recently, maybe I'm the last one to the party, but it's just a gazillion different forums of different topics, and you can create your own one, and maybe it catches on. A subreddit for those who want to end work, are curious about ending work, want to get the most out of a work-free life, want more information on anti-work ideas, and want personal help with their own jobs, work-related struggles.
Since this is radio, I've got to tell you, I'm making an expression like, how does that work? I mean, yeah. it's like there's an anti-breathing subreddit, and people say, I've given up breathing. I haven't breathed for three days. I'm like, how does that work?
Yeah. The forum's slogan, according to Wikipedia, is unemployment for all, not just the rich.
Wow. Through the looking glass.
And people. Not only is it celebrating the idea of not working in a society where people don't have to work, like, did Putin start this and we just have enough slackers that joined on and made it run, or I don't know what. Members frequently discuss ways to slack off, cheat, sabotage, and steal from their employers as an act of defiance. So if you do have a job, you need to sabotage your employer, because how dare they make you do something that's not making your heart sing.
But in exchange for money.
Let me just go through some of the posts, just random posts. And I could have spent all night on this thing. Some girl named Sid posted, who has a rose next to her name. Imagine if we worked less. Imagine if we walked around our communities, talked to our neighbors, spent time in nature, played. Imagine if we could read, write, fall in love without that nagging feeling of needing to do something, in quotes. Imagine if your life was your own.
Imagine growing up, you little punk.
Imagine, I can't tell how old she is. She's young, early 20s. Imagine getting to your early 20s, without having come up against an explanation of how that's impossible. No, at no point, your parents, a teacher, college, nothing ever explained to you how you're describing. Well, imagine if we could all fly and then we'd be able to get places without cars. You might as well say the same thing.
That would be way better for pollution.
I never used a sick day in my life, folks, are only screwing yourselves as well as the rest of us. Listen to me. It's not noble to break your body for your employer. It's not admirable to brag about netting only 12 hours sleep in the past week. You're not hustling. You're a pawn, a peon, a worthless cog that will get tossed away.
Wow. Boy, your Putin troll theory is interesting. That sounds like straight out of, you know, Karl Marx.
Most of the people I know who use few to no sick days are, I would define them as successful, is what I would define them as.
Yeah. Boy, that Imagine girl with her rose. Imagine leprechauns feeding pixie dust to unicorns. What are you talking about,
you child? I didn't know it. Imagine if you could poop gold bars.
Wow. The pain.
Okay, small gold bars.
Better.
They got a cartoon here. It's actually a Hank Hill cartoon.
How about the coins like I'm a slot machine?
Oh, jeez.
Ching, 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 ching.
They got a cartoon here. It's actually Hank Hill and his son. I haven't watched The King of the Hill in many, many years. What's his son? Bobby? Bobby and Hank are talking to some guitar player guy. And the guitar player guy is labeled as hustle culture. They use this term a lot on the anti-work Reddit, hustle culture, which we've all been brainwashed to do, and it's making America worse. You're not making jobs better. You're just making living worse, he says to hustle culture.
Wow.
And then another cartoon. My parents in their 20s. Let's have a baby. Me in my 20s. Going to sleep is cheaper than buying food.
Because of
the rampant starvation all across America among people in their 20s.
Wow, this is what it looks like. Ancient Rome.
Yeah.
Now I get it.
Yeah, this is what it looks like. This is what your 25-year-old who got the graduate degree who lives in your basement is doing at night before they go to sleep. They're on this subreddit posting or reading. Here's somebody working your whole life just to enjoy a few years when you're close to death is one of the biggest scams. Okay. So all of life and society owes you the opportunity for idleness, getting back to that Wall Street Journal article. Craft a society where you get a certain number of years of idleness provided to you by somebody. How does that work?
Well, show me the being, the animal, even the amoeba that exists without effort to feed itself. That there aren't any.
And I'd
like to talk to these people. What's the alternative? What do you envision? Explain it in detail, please.
Right. I'll do one more of these because I could do this all day long. It was blowing my mind.
I'm loving this.
Here's one where they break down the expenses. They're a McDonald's employee, apparently. Either they're a McDonald's employee or they're tweeting on behalf of another McDonald's employee, another hot early 20-something chick. Savings, $100, mortgage rent, $600, car payment, $150, adds it all up, blah, blah, blah. But what I make a minimum wage. So that's perpetuating the old myth that your minimum wage jobs are designed for you to be able to live off of.
Right. Or even support a family on, according to some, you know, way lefties.
Yeah, like you just brought up, I feel like I could convince these people of the error of their position with like a chalkboard and 15 minutes. Where do you expect you're not going to work? Who's going to provide the home that you're living in? This whole idle lifestyle, the neighborhood you're going to walk around. How are the houses going to
pay their fair share?
That could be it. That they could be under the belief that there is just so much extra tax money out there among the rich that. But why would the rich continue to go to work every day so that you can walk around the neighborhood and fall in love and all the stuff that you described without working?
I know. You described it as an error in their thinking. It's an impossibility. It's just bizarre. It's hard to know where to begin arguing the point.
Yeah. So between the disdain for certain kinds of jobs and the just wildly unicorn-like view of how people feed themselves. I don't know where we're headed. I don't know what percentage of people feel this, but, well, we have a bigger percentage of working age men not working than we did during the Great Depression. So it's here.
Well, if hard times truly come, they'll be disabused of their notions in a big hurry. To paraphrase Thomas Sowell, there are some ideas so idiotic only an intellectual could hold them. I think this is one of them.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
I got my fancy pants on.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Lawrence Summers, Democrat, old school Democrat, not new woke Democrat, but Lawrence Summers, economic guy, got fired from Harvard years ago for something stupid. But anyway, he said, we have a serious inflation problem, whatever the precise CPI reading is, because there is a lot of from the White House briefing room, you know, and everybody does this, and I understand why. You try to poke holes in the numbers. Here's why this is misleading. It's not that bad. And he is saying, we have a serious inflation problem, whatever the precise reading is. Inflation is running well ahead of anything seen during the guns and butter Vietnam episode and 50% above where it was when President Nixon imposed wage price controls. So he's putting this in terms of some serious economic bad news as a Democrat. He went on to say, White House cites leading economists as foreseeing sharp declines in inflation over the next 2 years. Certainly could happen. On the other hand, same kind of consensus was looking for inflation at well below 3% this year, and it turned out to be 7. That's some dark news from a Democrat right there.
Yeah, it is. And unquestionably, part of the inflation situation is the just disastrous disruption of the supply chain, you know, shipping and the rest of it. We've all gone over that. But what I find myself wondering, and this is getting into PhD in economics stuff, but when that stuff does sort itself out, presuming it does, tensions with China, but presuming it does sort itself out after 2-3 years of rampant inflation, I don't think things will just go back. I don't think they'll sort themselves out and all of a sudden we'll have no inflation, go back to the prices of today or whatever. I think that will probably have caused some lasting weirdness that will take a very long time to sort out. And I'm not sure exactly how, but you hear what I'm saying. I mean, if wages are chasing prices, which are chasing wages, which are chasing prices, then all of a sudden China says, phew, we're all caught up. All the container ships are out to sea now. The ports are cleared. We're good. I mean, that's still going to have lasting effects for God knows how long. So I don't think anybody has any idea what the next 5 years looks like.
Boy, I don't want to be all doom and gloom, but my fiscally conservative friends have been warning for years now, hey, we've run up this crazy debt and we're handling it now with interest rates at near zero. when interest rates go back up again, man, our payments every month on this debt are just going to be out of control. And the Fed announced they're going to raise interest rates several times this year. So that debt that we've been holding on to.
So do we accumulate more debt to pay off our present debt? Hello, disaster.
You ever paid off a credit card monthly statement with another credit card? It's not a good spiral to get into.
It's a dead-end road, friends. Dead-end road.
Speaking of inflation, I've talked about shrinkflation and explained it to my kids, and we kind of have fun at the grocery store pointing out the various examples.
Oh, that's good parenting.
I don't remember this happening in the 70s, 80s, last time there was inflation. Maybe the companies just caught on to people really notice when you raise the prices. So keep the price the same. Just make the product smaller. Cereal boxes have gotten smaller and now thinner. They're like a Reader's Digest thick. Well, there's a good reference for anybody under 40. What the hell, Jack? They've gotten thin is the thing. The box of cereal used to be this thick. This, but now it's smaller and it's just like this wide. Well, here's somebody sent an actual picture of a bag of Lay's potato chips shrinkflation. So that they didn't raise the price. They didn't shrink the size of the bag, but he opened up the bag and there's like no chips in there. There's like four chips in this bag of chips. He said the checker even asked, does this bag have anything in it?
What's their price per chip? I mean, how much are they saving? Do they assume that you will buy four bags because you need your chips? Or what? I just, how much are they saving and or making by giving you an insufficient number of chips?
I don't know. I don't think the game is working. I mean, I now buy a couple of boxes of each brand of cereal at a time because you get the box home, you pour each kid a bowl of cereal, and the box is empty. So, I mean, I've caught on to your ruse. And now I have to buy two boxes, which, guess what, costs more. Yeah, when we were on family vacation, we were all throwing out various examples. Hotels do not do what they used to do, like come in and change your sheets and towels and all that sort of stuff. They don't. You stay there for 3 days, you have the same stuff the whole time. So they didn't raise the price of the room, because you'd notice that, but they cut back on the services. And there's all kinds of examples of that with the inflation.
Yeah.
Different topic. How much time have I got, Michael? How much? Three. Okay.
Tons of time. Good talk show host can tell his life story in 3 minutes.
So somebody threw out the topic on the Twitterverse yesterday. What do you think the greatest threat to mankind is? And I thought, well, this is kind of an interesting one. But Tim Sandifer weighed in, our friend Tim the lawyer. Collectivism. And I thought, collectivism? Collectivism? So I really only ever think of collectivism in the economic term. So I was thinking this collectivism. So I looked it up. The definition of collectivism being the theory and practice of ownership of land and the means of production by the people or the state. That's what I was thinking. That's not what I think Tim was meaning. The other definition of collectivism is the practice or principle of giving a group priority over each individual in it. That, I assume, is what Tim Sandifer is talking about. Any of several types of social organization in which the individual is seen as being subordinate to a social collectivity such as a state, a nation, a race, a social class. That is going on to a great extent in our country and I guess around the world.
Yeah, I don't know. I suppose we could ask Tim, but as he is a great authority and author on economic freedom, it wouldn't surprise me if he had the first one in mind as well. I mean, there is no human endeavor as good at killing people as collectivist economic / political systems, communism. I mean, they killed the hundreds of millions. Please, they made Hitler look like a punk. So, you know, it might be both, because both are terrible.
Well, clearly the whole woke thing is you're part of this group, and this is the way you need to think and behave. And if you're not, you're kicked to the outskirts of the herd and ruined.
Right. Or, you know, ultimately put in a re-education camp or what have you.
Fascinating thought starter, I thought.
Okay.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
See new things. Try new things. Go back centuries while living in the moment. Forge new paths while discovering old ones. Pedal, paddle, and paint while trekking, tasting, and tailoring experiences that transform you into a better version of yourself. Immerse yourself in the world by activating your mind, your heart, and your body on a river cruise exclusively from Avalon Waterways. Save with limited time offers at avalonwaterways.com. Avalon is cruising. Elevated.